This is After the Credits, the home of correct movie opinions since 2007.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 342 of After the Credits. I am one of your co-hosts, Marina Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Steve Stebbing.
And Bill Harris.
No Melissa today, but we will continue on without her. The fight continues. Is it even a fight at this point?
No, it's been a fight to record. Like
it has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was tough.
This episode is cursed, guys. It's cursed.
Yeah, I fucked it up, though. Like, if we're being honest, I totally did. I totally did because, like, I think it was almost a week into the 2 week break between recording, and I was like, oh fuck, that day that we booked is actually the night that I go out to Kelowna to see Unearth, Lacuna Coil, In Flames, and Machine Head.
Lacuna Coil, I'm jealous.
Oh my god, Christina Scabbia's voice is still incredible. She's and it resonated so beautifully in Prospera Place.
I'm still really bitter. Really, we went to go and see Apocalyptica at the Commodore. One of the last times they were here. I don't know. I've seen them a bunch of times at this point. And Lacuna Coil opened for them.
And,
you know, usually they say, you know, doors at this time, and then the first band, there were two openers, and I'm like, oh, we got lots of time. They'd already gone on by the time I got there. I was so upset. What are the chances I'm going to see them again?
Yeah.
Probably slim to nil. So I was bummed.
Well, that the potential of that, because she has a song with Apocalyptica called SOS, Anything But Love. But yeah, incredible. Just incredible stuff.
How were In Flames and Machine Head?
Incredible legends. Legends. In Flames is one of my favorite bands of all time, and I'm not even like exaggerating a little bit. And they absolutely rocked, and they ended their set with My Sweet Shadow, which is like an all-time favorite song, not just from them, but just in general. Machine Head are just absolute like workhorses. They're such a good band. Rob Flynn looks like a metal warrior. He's just got big long hair, a huge gray beard, and like the metal flak, and like and he's playing the Explorer, a mix between the Explorer and a few Flying Vs. So it's always just like, it's always a good time when Machine Head's playing. They're such a great crowd band too. And Circle Pit band. Like we were in seats. So, but we had a vantage point of looking into that pit and like seeing some of those circle pits. And there's nothing like the energy of a metal show. That's all I'll say.
The last Circle Pit show I went to was the final Slayer show in Vancouver. Okay, maybe not so final show because they're playing again.
But yeah,
no, they're final show of Slayer.
Yeah.
Lamb of God opened for them.
Oh yeah.
People were getting killed.
Oh yeah,
like people were being taken away by ambulances from that pit. It was nuts.
I will say Lamb of God's one of the greatest metal acts live ever.
Incredible.
Ever.
Yeah.
But one of my next shows is one that I'm going to be attending in Vancouver. I'm very excited about another metal show. You and me, Marina.
Oh, yay! I got a date.
Yeah.
Are you going to see Nine Inch Nails?
No, I'm not. I am not.
Okay.
Well, maybe, but not with me.
I'm working on that.
We're going to go see Korn.
Oh.
In Gojira.
Yeah.
I offered you these tickets first, Bill, so for the record.
The night before VIP
starts, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be there checking out Korn, which is like an all-timer for me. Yeah.
Well, funny enough, we were, I can't remember what Dan and I were doing on the weekend, but we were driving somewhere, and I'm like, it feels like a metal afternoon. So Marina loads up her playlist. And at some point we ended up deep into like some old school Korn. He's like, who's this? This is pretty good. I'm like, this is fucking Korn. You said you didn't want to go to this show. I already have a date. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, if Dan doesn't want to go, I'll go. Because I wasn't actually coming in the day before, but now
Steve,
I am.
Steve is coming with me.
Yeah, I've claimed
Steve
this.
Steve is my date.
There's no. Yeah, there's. No, we're not changing this.
I will grab a ticket somewhere else then, and I will because I don't really care about Corrin. I want to see Gojira, but
right. Gojira. This is where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah. This well, me at. Too. I need to see flying whales, and
I need to see the band, man. Just
yeah.
So was Dan going, are you ready?
No. Dan is more of like a classic metal guy. Like Iron Maiden is kind of what it's for him, and Motorhead. Nothing Maiden.
Nothing yeah, Bruce rules, okay? Bruce we've has seen, the energy.
Seen, oh, for sure. I mean, I've seen Ooh. Iron Maiden with Dan like 3 times. They're always good. Always good.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're
metal shop. In. Metal shop.
Pretty much.
Never happens, Marina. We're never
off topic. Mind you, I kind of feel like maybe the metal conversation is a nice segue into this movie, which I haven't even seen, and I apologize in advance. But I don't know. It kind of feels like it's the same energy. Fight it's or flight, metal, guys. Yeah. Fight or flight. Come on, it's like Bullet Train on a plane.
It really, really is, but far, far gorier.
Oh,
they break out a chainsaw. So exactly what you think is going to happen happens. Like that's not a spoiler because it's in the fucking trailer.
Yeah, it's insanity.
But yeah, and honestly, Josh Hartnett is having the most fun and chewing all the scenery while doing it. And it's an exasperating performance that I really, really enjoy. Like, it's one of those movies where the character is just so over the situation all the time. Like, I don't know. I enjoy it. And then the Berserk scene is just so great.
He also has this really interestingly, like, kind of funny backstory of what happened to him.
Yeah.
Katie Sackhoff's in the film, and she's a vindictive ex-lover kind of thing who like, fucked him over because he did something, but it might have been bad, but not have been bad kind of thing. And he's kind of stuck, and he's a drunk, and he's also, like, a lethal weapon who can really kick a lot of ass. And my God, does he ever kick a lot of ass? There's a scene in this film where he like puts somebody into the roof and their head gets like pummeled by like something sticking out of the ceiling, and he falls down and the camera like just sits on the wound for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, like,
this film is fucking gnarly.
Yeah, it really is.
Who directed this thing?
New guy. This guy is a first-time
James
filmmaker.
Madigan.
Yeah, he's a first-time filmmaker. Yeah, I'm hoping for more. This is like, it's like John Wick B, but with comedy. Like, it really kind of feel like it's kind of like in the nobody category a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say that.
A little more frenetic, a little more of that international, like Tommy Wirkola.
Yeah, but I would say it's even a little Timu nobody. It's still a little low budget.
Yeah,
feeling.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way it was shot at times. Everything speeds up in the action scenes. I didn't like that.
It's Matt Ramsey, eh?
It's the same
Raid guy and Havoc and stuff.
Yeah, I thought, okay, and this needs to slow down a little bit. It's like it's cut like by like a 12-year-old. But it's a decently fun movie. Hartnett's really fun. Charitha Chandran is really good. The stewardess, I thought she was really good.
So she's from Bridgerton, I guess?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Second season love interest, Marina.
She's hot.
Yeah.
Just saying.
still the worst season of Bridgerton, by the way.
Well, yeah, there was the whole B thing, which let's not get into it. We've had this discussion on this show.
But like, this movie kept on surprising me. Like, stuff would just come out of the blue. Like, there's like these Chinese women who are like monks who are like,
yeah,
just whoop some ass.
And, yeah. It's like this protective subplot.
Yeah.
Very wild.
Just,
they take wild swings and I don't know. They connect for the most part.
The use of technology is quite good too. Like people getting photos of people is like, it keeps the story going quite well. And yeah, as you said before, Hartnett's really good. I'm here for Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
Like he just makes like Trapped sucked.
Yeah. But he's so great in
it. He's so good in it. And yeah, he's really fun in this.
Yeah. And I wanted a win for him after Trapped because of that exact notion. Like, I fucking hate that movie, but
yeah.
Damn, is he good in it.
Also, thank you to the people sitting behind me who more than once told me how hot Josh Hartnett was. Like,
oh, God. So hot.
Like, come on. We all know Josh Hartnett's hot.
Yes. It's unspoken, guys. You just let it wash over you, and it just coats you with charisma as well.
But what's funny is that he is hot for everybody, including gay men who find him like honestly, it's kind of hilarious to see the internet conversation about one, where has hot Josh Hartnett been? And wow, he's back and he's really hot and he's very unassuming in his hotness.
Wow. He's always has been. I mean, he emerged on the scene with a haircut he did himself.
I actually had a conversation with a friend at work who told me she thinks that Josh Hartnett's hotter now than when he was like 21.
I fully agree 150%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he can grow a beard now.
Well, I think there's more than that to it. But yeah, he's definitely hotter now than he was.
Even if he has like a Keanu Reeves beard, like that like patchy bullshit. But
yeah,
it kind of works. Works for him.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. It works for some people. It certainly works for him.
He's every sexual.
yes indeed. I'm curious about the pacing of this movie, because it's like an hour and 40 minutes when the premise is kind of silly. Like, how do they manage to actually keep this going for that long without it like losing steam?
20 to 30-ish minutes before any action. Like, yes. They set up a plot, which is kind of mumbo jumbo, but it actually kind of works.
Okay.
Katie Sackhoff is also just chewing scenery in this film. Holy shit. Just hilariously. And she's got this hairdo that's just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get on the plane about 20 or 30 minutes into the film, and then it picks up. So you got a good hour of action. And
there is one death in particular that's just. The sound and everything about it is so gnarly. It just really stuck with me. I consider, because on my Letterboxd, Bill probably knows this, I don't ever get into spoiler things where I have to hide my review, but I really wanted to bring it up. And I'm always just so tempted to bring it up, but it's fucking gnarly. And I'm going to leave people in suspense for a bit, because I really think I want people to see this movie, because it's kind of like one of those like tentpole in a year action films that are just fun, even on a rewatch too.
What is with these films that we think I think we all thought this might be okay, but like, you know, like, The Amateur, the Accountant, to all movies we kind of didn't think were going to be great, but they're actually decent and pretty good, actually. More than watchable. I think we all just want a good time right now, and we're all just like happy that something's not like fucking killing us
really bad.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because a series that kind of had a mix of grades is the Equalizer films. I contend the first movie is pretty solid. Like, I enjoy the first film, even though there's at no point where fucking Denzel is in any sort of danger whatsoever. Like, he's just fucking everybody up. Like, it's just happening, right? The second film, I think, is a mess. I don't think it's a very good film at all. It's kind of dull. And the end is murky and dumb. I'm just not buying Pascal as that bad guy. Just not doing it. We're not playing that game. And then the third film is enjoyable in the sense that it feels like a slasher film, but like Denzel's the killer.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
So I don't know. It's like, so I don't know. We're in a weird action movie time. I'd contend. I hate using John Wick as the benchmark, but maybe a little bit before John Wick came out. There was a series of film. You know what? I'll say that Neville Dean and Taylor changed the game a lot in the mid 2000s.
Agreed, 120%.
Yeah.
And then you had another boom in 2015, like 10 years later.
Why did we never get like Crank 3, Crank 4, Crank 5?
No. I think maybe now those movies would have got a lot more attention. But now they're just like in meme quality. Like,
no, but like Statham cranks them out. Like,
yeah.
Why can't he do one of those?
I know. And just bring them both back together and like, hey, guys, focus, guys. We know you want to make your Exorcist tapes and your fucking whatever the fuck else you're making that we're after the fact. We're like, oh, that was Brian Taylor or whatever the fuck. Let's get back together and let's focus. Get back to the writer's table. Maybe bring Glenn Howerton in there. I know you killed him already.
There's a way to bring him back, I'm sure.
Yeah, whatever. And he could just write it or something because I'm sure he could punch something up. But fucking, let's get another Crank movie. Let's get Chev Chelios back into the car and get one of his other organs powered by electricity. And let's fucking rock. Let his kidneys. Chev Chelios' kidneys are failing him.
But I kind of think it's interesting, too, that these are all, like you mentioned, The Accountant 2 and The Amateur and now this. They're all movies that are also, like, low to mid budget. Like, these are not giant tentpole movies. Like, that's not what they were intended for, which I think just continues to push this concept that not all movies need to be tentpole movies and not all movies need to be direct to video films. Like, there is a market for these adult action, adult drama, like these, you know, movies that are specific to a target audience and the people want to see them clearly because they're making bank.
As long as they're not a working man, we're fucking good.
And I mean, but really, if you have, you know, three movies like the ones we just talked about and then one working man.
Yeah.
We're
yeah,
still, exactly. The odds are still pretty good. The odds are ever in your favor.
Yeah. For every one of those, we're going to have a flight risk.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Or whatever, you know? Yeah.
But one thing I have said about the other movies that I will say about this movie, like, this movie is really like stupid and dumb and but nothing that pissed me off. Like, it's like his character, he got his ass kicked in that film.
Yeah.
And
continuously.
So it's not like he's just like Superman and killing people on a plane. No, he's getting screwed over too. And I'm like, okay, this isn't stupid. He's not like flying across the stream like it's a Jet Li movie or something like that. Like, he's just kicking some ass and it's kind of fun to watch. And just, it's not hard. Just don't do something that's going to piss me off.
You know, I believe there is a movie in development for this. Cause I think I saw that there's going to be a Street Fighter movie. If they don't, I know, but if they don't cast Marco Zerer as Zagat, like, what are we even doing here?
Come like, on, they fucked this up already, like, so bad.
I know, but they've already done some of the casting. I think Noah Centineo is Ken.
Who's Chung Li? That's all I want to know.
Noah was looking pretty ripped in Warfare. So.
Yeah, and he's bulked up a bunch too. Yeah. For that other show, the Recruit, he was bigger in season 2. Of that series.
He went on that Iron Claw diet where everybody just put on a bunch of weight.
Right? That diet's fucking crazy though. Yeah. Like it's like a solid diet because, like, I mean, look at Jeremy Allen White in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit,
everybody in that movie is built.
Zach's already like a pretty big guy, but yeah, Zach filled out in the mid section and stuff. Like, yeah, he's big in that movie.
And weirdly, his jaw got all weird. You know, a thing that happens when you take steroids.
he had reconstructive jaw surgery.
Yeah, my ass.
it doesn't matter. You're still handsome. Any way you cut it, that movie still kicks ass.
Yeah, that's fair.
So yeah, it's no spoilers, but something happens at the end of the film. Would you watch another one of these? You seem pretty decently.
Yes.
Yeah, I would. I would too. It's.
I was surprised, honestly, by the ending. I was very shocked by the ending, and I was like, "Oh, what? Like, we're not. There's not even any slowdown. We're just like,
wait, is there a connecting flight?
No, but like, no, it's not. It's. But if the next movie starts like right there, I'd be like, fuck yes.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm feeling on that. So I'm hoping for, and this, what would this one be called? You know what I mean? Like what? I don't know. It can't be called, if it's called Fight or Flight 2, it's like, what?
Missed opportunity?
Yeah, I don't know. This is, it's a ballsy move to end your movie like this too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the ending. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So safe to say recommended?
Yes.
Yeah. I know we kind of all thought it was going to be pretty fun in the last episode. So I'm happy to say that it actually is quite fun. And I'm usually pretty hard on these films. So for me to say that, that's pretty telling.
And I don't know how widely advertised this movie is.
Yeah, I didn't look at the box office. I have no idea how much money it made. Right?
Yeah, or how many screens it opened on, or what? Is this a wide release? Like, is this released to be like the Thunderbolts competition for week two? Like,
yeah, I don't think it costs a lot to make. I know. I'm pretty sure they just had a fuselage set.
Route 504 distributed it in Canada.
Yeah. Wow.
So. It's a more independent distributor.
Yeah. If you're looking for a good time, I don't think you're going to be disappointed with this one. It's quite fun, but
most
excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do you guys have? I haven't seen a lot. So
speaking of fun, and I haven't watched the trailer. I know it just came out today, but the trailer for Nobody 2 came out.
We just watched it.
Oh, well, how does it look? It's Timo that directed it. It's not.
It looks fun. The musical choices are Chef's Kiss.
Nice. Nice. I like him as a director, so I'm interested in this.
Speaking of musical cues, the Elvis Costello musical cue, Chef's Kiss. Chef's Kiss.
Oh, very, 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 very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love a delicious needle drop.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Just like, ooh. Oh. Ka-click.
Friendship's got some good needle drops.
Oh. Do you want to go first?
It's all metal too, which makes
That's so good. Oh. Yeah. That's so good.
You can go, Steve. It's cool.
Oh, you're going to make me wait. Okay. And I made mention of this when I, at the end of the last episode, I mentioned that I was going to watch Sharp Corner, and you're like, yeah, it's okay. And I ended up really enjoying this film a lot. It is frustrating a lot of ways because these characters just become blind to each other's shit, like immediately. Like immediately. And but I also like how the story really kicks off immediately. And like, what a fucked up thing to have to go through where you're on a horrible corner where vehicles are just going way too fast and you have so much death on your front lawn. Like, it's a crazy concept. And to have soft-spoken and meek and completely back of the line Ben Foster to play that out is really interesting too. The preoccupation with CPR and the CPR doll, and there's just like weird things that I didn't see this film going the direction I didn't see this going, and how harsh it actually becomes as well. So I enjoyed this one quite a bit. So I thought that was solid. And I'm going to Marvel fanboy out on you guys because Thunderbolts was fucking great.
It is great.
It's a fucking great film. And like a film about a bunch of characters in the MCU that are really kind of in the gray area, coming forward and dealing with mental health. Like, and everyone's great. Like, everyone's really, really great. I don't really know Hannah John Kamen at all. Apparently she was in The Killjoys, a show on Sci-Fi.
I vaguely remember that show.
Yeah, but I only know her from being the quote-unquote villain from the second Ant-Man movie, and then this film, and I thought she was really great in this. Wyatt Russell is just awesome. Every time he's on screen, I just love watching that guy. I just see his dad in him so fucking much at, like, all times. And David Harbour is fucking amazing. And Flo, I mean, I don't even think I even need to get into how much I love her and how much she rocks in this movie and how much the script is really great. And it was the script for it was actually punched up by the guy that did Beef.
Yeah, he's isn't he the director too?
Jake Schreier is the director who did but the actual creator of Beef punched up the dialogue for the movie, and I think the dialogue's really winning in it. There's some really great barbs between them that I thought were really funny, especially directed at Wyatt Russell's character. There's a lot of really funny things. Lewis Pullman is gonna have a huge fucking future.
Yeah, he's great.
Huge. And it's just starting. It's funny that he's played two Bobs in two blockbuster films.
My problem with going into this film was like, what's Marvel going to be without Iron Man, Hulk, all those characters, all these new characters who I don't know? Am I going to have the same feeling about them that I had about those characters? And the script is so good because you automatically start to like them because they're so freaking vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about their feelings. I'm just like, Jesus, this is really well written. Like, this is a Marvel film. Like, where has this been the last 4 years? Like, and all these characters that we knew U.S. Soldier, whatever, I guess his name.
Yeah.
As I said, not really a big
U.S.
Marvel fan.
U.S. Agent. Yeah.
U.S. Agent. We saw him in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
But when he was the new Captain America and he murdered a person in the fucking middle of the town square.
Yeah. And like we knew Flo's character from other stuff, but, and David Harbour's character, but a bunch of the other characters, it is brand new and I didn't know them. And all of a sudden I'm like, can the next part of the Marvel, like, saga actually be good? Because I don't know anybody. I'm not a comic book nerd. I don't know these characters. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking maybe we're actually not going to be in a down period because they seem to have got this right.
Yeah. If they take the right lessons from this movie, then yes, 100% they could make something really special.
Because there is but I'm shaking my head because they brought back the same directors from the stupid Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Russos. And the Russos actually make their return in this movie because the end scenes were done by them.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I mean, from all accounts, everybody seems to be on the same boat with you guys that, you know, the movie is better than anybody anticipated. But I have a hard time believing that, you know, they're going to be able to continue this upstreak if they just bring back the same old, same old. I don't believe the Russos have it in them.
I think the deciding factor is in July when Fantastic Four First Steps comes out, because that's Matt Shakman doing that one. He's the guy that did WandaVision.
But they're on an uphill, like Disney is on an uphill battle with that movie because they have fucked up that marketing so badly and they've stepped in so much hot water with AI and all this bullshit with their stupid marketing. And they've put that movie back like five steps. Like it should be way buzzier. It looks far better than the marketing suggests. Like they have really fucked up that marketing badly. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to really affect the movie.
Well, hopefully the movie can outweigh that then.
Box office wise, I don't think it will. Steve, which is going to be problematic because Disney needs to make bank. Otherwise, I mean, they're losing their shirt.
Mm-hmm. Steve, do you know comics?
Yep.
Okay. Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Is Downey in it?
No. For a doctor, is there going to be a Doctor Doom? Maybe.
Isn't Doom their like nemesis?
There is, yeah, one of their nemesis, but yeah, he's one of their main nemeses. So okay. That's because there is that stinger at the end of Thunderbolts the arrival of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, and hey, if you haven't seen the film, they sure ruined the one of the stingers for that movie.
Eh? I know. Really quickly too.
Just really stupid.
Yeah, that's wild. That's absolutely wild to do that.
I find it really funny that we talked probably like 5 minutes about this movie and haven't mentioned Sebastian Stan.
Oh, he's great. Like, that's the thing. Everybody in this movie is great. Julia Louise Dreyfus is great. Geraldine Viswanathan, I adore her. I think she's on her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Really, really great.
And Bunk from The Wire is in it, so that's awesome.
Wendell Pierce. There's a really great scene with him and Sebastian Stan at the banquet that I laughed really hard because it's like. Because Bucky in this movie, at the start of this movie, he's a politician. Like he's a congressman, and he's still trying to act like a covert, like spy type thing. And I don't know. It's just really funny. It's just the two worlds mixing because Wendell Pierce's character is Bucky, not. He's like
Bucky's home life is pretty funny too.
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it's really great stuff. There's a lot of great character work, which I agree with Bill. They need to do a lot more of because they need to make people give a shit before they thrust them into these big battles. I'll also say that these are some of the best fight scenes in films for a while when it comes to Marvel. They did a really great job of the choreography and the look of them, so you can see everything. And yeah, it's solid. It joins Daredevil Born Again in the Marvel this year.
So when the Russos fuck Avengers up again, just have Benson and Moorhead do it?
Yeah, I think they should have leaned more with them anyways.
Yeah.
You cannot wrong with more of that.
I think that there is kind of a sub brainchild within Marvel that is Benson Moorhead. As well as Matt Shakman's in there and now Justin Schreier. I think that there's a really great young core that could just make this whole thing their own. And Feige you just walk the fuck away and just know that like he can be EP, have his name all over everything. But these guys got it. We got story, we got everything. We got it. Bring fucking Oscar Isaac back as fucking Moon Knight. Let's go.
I support this plan.
Yeah, I'm still a little scared of the next Avengers film. I'm not gonna lie. I don't even know who's in it. Like other than the people who are in Thunderbolts.
I just don't care, to be honest.
There's lots of people in it.
I watched Thunderbolts because you guys liked it and it looked fun. So
it's flow.
And flow.
She's great. So good.
And it's a really great cast.
That jump in the trailer, she really did that.
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie, but I did see some much buzz about the fact that she did her own stunts and pushed really hard.
And she begged and sent letters and was like,
I want to be Tom Cruise, damn it.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I absolutely love her. And she seems like a really great person and I like watching her cooking and stuff.
Maybe don't hang off an airplane though. Like that, just maybe don't do that.
That stunt looks insane. It looks insane. I'm psyched for that movie. And then I saw a lot of three and a halfs out of five on Letterboxd from people I know, and I was like,
yeah. That movie screened last night, and I've talked to like 10 people who've like said bad things about it. So, and I'm just like. You know, it's like 2 hours and 50 minutes, right?
Yeah, I know. I think my screening is like 6:30 or something like that.
I know. It pisses me off. I wanted to go see Lilo and Stitch afterwards, but the fucking movie's so long, I couldn't work it out.
Can't see Mission Stitch, man.
Mission Stitch.
Lilo Impossible.
Oh, that's some good stuff right there.
That is. You need to like
market that
shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Mission happening. Stitch. Mission Stitch.
I like
Stitch.
That.
If we could have a subtitle for this episode, it's Mission Stitch.
Okay. Well, should we save that for next episode?
Oh, yes, we should. We don't even
know. I'm writing it down though. Okay,
that's the movies then, right? Mission Impossible, Final Reckoning, and Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. I haven't even seen the animated Lilo and Stitch.
You've never seen the animated Lilo and Stitch?
No, it was outside of my purview of animation. Bill? And
I've seen it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Everybody has seen it. It's a blind spot for Marina.
Okay, I was like, whoa.
I know it's a blind spot. I'll get there eventually. Maybe my nieces will want to see it with me.
It's on
in preparation.
Yeah, I mean, just Disney Plus it.
I know. You know, I had movie night with Chloe the other day and we watched Hotel Transylvania 3.
Oh, yeah. Is that the summer vacation one?
Yes, it's very fun. I was actually rather impressed.
Those ones are okay. Because it also, again, at the end of the day, it's just fucking Sandler getting all his buddies together to just do shit together and then getting a big paycheck for it.
For like a 2 or 3 year stretch, I'd go to VIF a couple of days early and they'd always have a morning screening at Metropolis of a Hotel Transylvania movie. And I'd always go there and I'd be so angry that I was there. It's like 9:30 in the morning and I'm lined up with like 200 children. And I'm just like, fuck.
Watching Genndy Tartakovsky get paid, man. Get paid.
So he can make things like Primal.
Pretty much. Yeah. And his new movie.
Well, what's the new movie?
What is it called? About a dog sniffing butts. I can't remember what it's called.
All right, sure.
That tracks.
Yeah. I'll look it up while you're talking about your other movies.
Speaking of dogs, have you heard about this movie called Good Dog? It's a horror film from the point of view of the dog.
No.
Nice.
What?
Is it first person?
I don't know. I don't think it's first person, but...
That would have been cool.
fucking weird, right? Anyway, sorry.
So next episode, it's after the credits, Mission Stitch, brought to you by Marina Soju.
Yeah.
Presented today by Mango Soju.
Nice. We just got to this. We just got to the sponsorship a little late. It's fine.
But we're here.
We're here. It's all good.
I'm drinking Hoyne Dark Matter. So if we can get some of that. Yeah, brought to you
all
by them.
All about the Hoyne.
Nice.
I like brewed that. In Victoria. Mm-hmm. So nice. Canadian brew, man.
Yep. There we go.
Weirdly, I only drink when we're podcasting.
What does that say about us?
I feel honored by that fact.
I have a six pack in my fridge that I take like two each show. And yeah, I never drink.
This is a celebration.
I guess.
Yeah. Celebration. So Clown in a Cornfield, Eli Craig's new film. Eli Craig did Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Clown in Cornfield is not Tucker and Dale versus Evil. But it's not Little Evil, which is the other film he did, which I didn't think was that great. Clown in Cornfield's okay. It's got some cool reveal gags to it with the clowns, himself. I'm dancing so hard around spoilers in this.
Yeah,
one.
You be tread lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Kevin Durant is in this.
Oh,
looking very Elon Musk.
Yes. So Elon.
Okay, but he always kind of had that look.
Yeah.
No, it's really done up. He does like the speech and he looks just like Elon Musk.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is pronounced. And Will Sasso as their sheriff and Nobody does a good genre performance like Will Sasso. Ladner's Own.
He doesn't like teenage boys. Yeah, this is okay. I do enjoy a good young asshole children getting destroyed by something movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't the beginning of the movie, but there's a really great pitchfork kill.
Yeah.
In the very beginning of the movie where the clown lifts him so high that he's above the cornfield. it's just looks so cinematic. Like I really, really dug it. And I don't know. There's some really funny parts to it that I definitely laughed out loud at. One coming after again, a pitchfork kill that I thought was really funny. And there's a little bit of like millennial jokes, like at what they don't know about the old world that I thought was kind of funny, especially like taking things for granted, like not learning how to drive stick. Like, I don't know how to drive stick. I just got my license, but I don't know how to drive stick. But so I'd be fucked too. But that shit's kind of funny. So I don't know. It pulls that off, but it's not fantastic.
And it's a small budget horror film, mm-hmm. and it's decently watchable. So we should probably all support it because, you know, these films need to be made.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like I'm glad that it exists because apparently the book is a pretty hot seller, I guess. I didn't really even know about it.
And the fact that it probably cost like $1 million to make and it was number 5 at the box office this weekend.
Holy shit.
Is pretty good.
Good for Eli Craig. That's awesome.
No kidding.
So hopefully he doesn't go the way of the other clown movie, Terrifier.
Oh, Terrifier.
And just get progressively worse and worse. Yeah. And maybe he keeps on making these $1 million films and they make money. So horror movies are making money this year.
Yeah, exactly. They could make more of this one.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's definite ability to do that. So it was cool. I drove to Kelowna to their Famous Players. It's still called Famous Players.
Wow. Holy shit.
But it's a Cineplex. And it's the only, I found the reclining seats in Okanagan and they're in this theater. It's a 4-screen theater, it's right across from Orchard Park Mall. And I went there and I saw The Legend of Ochi. It was the only place that was playing it. And this movie is just inventive and gorgeous to look at. But its imagination isn't deep enough for what it's trying to show you visually. Like, it feels like the plot is super thin, predictable even. But the puppet, the effects are really, really great. And the puppet effects are really fantastic. And kind of love this little creature. And Willem Dafoe, like he's always solid. I can see where the argument comes across that a lot of people thought when the trailer came out that it looks AI created because there's like a certain look to the film that could lend to that fact. But I think I was just a little let down with how short-sighted the film kind of feels.
Yeah, it's pretty much what I'd heard from everybody. So I skipped it. I'll catch up with it. If it looks cool, I'll probably like it just because it looks cool. But
it's like super Eastern European in its execution.
Nice.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. But I think Isaiah Saxton is an American, so.
Yeah. I am enjoying your excursions to other towns to see movies. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm super pumped about it. That's how I have to see Hurry Up Tomorrow is by going to West Kelowna, I think. But yeah, I always check the surrounding area for the listings and everything because I am mobile, bitches.
Watch out!
I watched the very fluffy and super glossy Netflix film Nonas. which I didn't realize was released for Mother's Day weekend. So it kind of is makes sense of why they brought it out. Is Stephen Chbosky's new film. And Stephen Chbosky, I mean, Perks of a Wallflower. I like that film.
I love that movie.
Me too. Yeah,
I
love
that movie. I thought that was really good. Wonder, meh. But Dear Evan Hansen is one of the biggest flaming turd pieces of shit. Expel it from this planet. Garbage celluloids that I've ever put into my eyeballs. So for that reason alone, I mean this in the most loving way possible. Stephen Chbosky could burn in hell.
TIFF opening film, Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, I can't. Can you imagine seeing that fucking turd?
I paid $20 streaming to watch it opening night at TIFF. And yeah.
Yeah. Guys, if you could see Steve's face.
I got a screener for that from you. Is it Universal that put that one out, or is it Fox?
Yeah.
Somebody, who knows?
I don't know. I don't know who fucking took a chance on that. On a fucking 30-year-old Ben Platt playing a teenager. It's like this teenage girl, these teenage characters, and he's like, hi.
Not creepy at all, guys. Not creepy at all.
It was bad. It was just really bad. And I don't know. I'm hit or miss with Ben Platt anyway. So I was like, that I hated that movie. But Stephen Chbosky did this film, and featuring the charm of Vince Vaughn without any of the abrasiveness. It's like they like sanded the edges off him for this movie. He was nice guy Vince Vaughn in all of his glory in this, and he just wants to open a restaurant where grandmas cook food. It's based on a true story.
I am into this story. Is the movie any good?
Middling. It's middling. I it's like a 3 out of 5 all day. Like it's
all right.
The script isn't great. I'm getting really upset with them showing me Lorraine Bracco's mortality right now. it's Karen from Goodfellas. But Talia Shire is in this movie. I feel like I haven't seen Jason Schwartzman's mom in a movie in a long time. And Susan Sarandon. I didn't know Susan Sarandon's Italian.
No, neither did I.
Is she Italian?
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah, sure. For the purpose of this movie, sure. Why not?
Well, Joe Montanello made a comment about how he was thrilled to finally be in a movie where he can be Italian, but he's tall, like a foot taller than everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was pretty funny.
I like seeing him too, because I have a man crush on that dude.
Yeah, he's charming. I really like him.
He's married to Drea De Matteo in this one, and her public comments make me not really like her that
much. She kind of sucks, actually.
She kind of sucks in lots of ways, which sucks because, I mean, Adriana Sopranos is, I mean, just Sopranos as a fucking whole is like so special to me. So she's part of that. I also on Prime Video checked out Ash, Flying Lotus's second feature film.
I saw this too.
How many films did he copy in that film?
A lot. Visually, it's interesting. It's a kaleidoscope of interesting enough with some okay gore. But I love Isa Gonzalez. I've always really liked her. Apparently, this was supposed to be Tessa Thompson and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. At first.
Wow.
Yeah. So but it turned into this one.
What I thought.
It's so derivative of better films. It has its moments it's got an Uwe Kwaye's fight scene in it. So
winning.
Yeah. It's kind of like worth the price of admission just to get to that point.
I thought it was doing some interesting things. I kind of think it's hilarious that it's trying to be Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Which is just, it makes me laugh. I like some of the overall concept I thought was really interesting, but it's so green screened. It's a little icky, and I don't know. Yeah, it just the I like that it's pushing some buttons and the visually it's kind of interesting, but it's also a lot in a not great way. Like it just feels like it's wearing you down. I mean, I think it's only what, like 80 some odd minutes, and it feels like it's burning your eyeballs for the last
it's
20.
It's like neon.
I'm usually okay with that. I kind of like when movies kind of, you know, push the boundaries. It just feels wearing in this one. Yeah. And probably because the story just feels kind of meddling. Like it's an interesting concept that doesn't go anywhere.
I will say that I think he will make a great movie one day.
I think so too.
There's something there.
I agree.
I just wish he would come up with something more original that was actually not copying other things. Yeah. I think he's got a good idea visually. Maybe with more of a budget, he'd actually be able to do it properly instead of green screening it. And yeah, I think he'll be good one day.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was very good.
No, I'm looking forward to his next work, but I'm paying attention, but
I actually
this
thought
wasn't
that,
it.
No, I thought it was interesting. Like the disparity between the critic reviews and like the fan reviews, it's not usually like that large. Like the critics had it at like 76 or 78% and people had it at like 4.9, which is like less than 50, which I thought was kind of an interesting, just an interesting observation. Like usually it's the other way around. Like critics hate something and fans love it. So I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting.
So yeah, last episode, I'm starting a new gimmick. I said, fuck Speed Racer. This episode, I'm going to say, fuck Event Horizon.
No.
Fuck you.
Whoa.
What is this? Personally.
What is this coming from? Fuck? Whoa.
I feel personally affronted by Bill.
Oh, this new gimmick's awesome. People are getting pissed. I love it.
Dude, hold on. Okay. So wrong. I said my shit about Paul W.S. last week, but I am going to fucking come to his defense this week because what the fuck is your problem, man?
Well, admittedly, to Bill's defense, Event Horizon was derided when it came out. I think it is something that people have found over the years. I love it. I think it's fantastic. I do think it's misunderstood. Fully. I really love that movie.
It's a mess.
It is not a mess.
And the last act is just complete garbage.
No, fully disagree. Fully disagree.
It also doesn't help that that film was just bastardized by the company that put it out, wasn't it?
I guess
pre-Constantin.
Yeah, and I think it's worth saying that there is not that much better, but the director's cut is a little bit better.
That's what I got.
Yeah. That's what's on all the special edition.
Yeah, I had the 4K steelbook.
I don't know if I have a steelbook, but I do have like a 4K release of that movie. It's really, really great. And admittedly, I mean, I did do a 90-minute deep dive into the making of that movie, and the behind-the-scenes stories are chef's kiss. I will link to that interview. There is some really funny
things. Yeah, it's really, really, really good.
What hot take will I have next episode?
You will have to tune in to find out. But that is crazy, though.
I almost drove to Victoria.
Teleporting was a thing. Might have bloodshed.
I thought Melissa was going to kill me last episode for talking shit about Speed Racer.
Speed Racer is really good, okay? That movie is like candy.
I'm not going to jump as quickly to the defense of that one because I don't think I saw it in IMAX when it came out.
Oh, I love Speed Racer.
I don't think I liked it at the time. It grew on me. Last one I'll end off on is it's a Shudder original. It's called Bloody Axe Wound. It's the second feature from Matthew John Lawrence, who did a film called Uncle Peckerhead.
I was going to say, is it the brother of Joey Lawrence?
No, it's not. It's not that Matthew Lawrence. I know that would be crazy, right? He did a movie called Uncle Peckerhead, which is like this heavy metal roadie zombie film. But Bloody Axe Wound is like this meta film about the daughter of a it's kind of weird. Okay, so it's about the daughter of a Jason like serial killer that's resurrected over and over again, that wants to take over the family business, because what the family business pertains is they get videos of these killing sprees, and it's like a rentable movie, like a VHS, like Friday 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street or something like that. But they like supply this thing. It's just the weirdest convoluted story. But Jeffrey Dean Morgan is in the opening scene. They obviously could afford him for the opening scene of the film. And then the rest of it, like the dad is Billy Burke.
I love him.
Under heavy makeup.
But it's
all right. It's like not a bad film. It Uncle Peckerhead is a bit better, but this one it's a bit fun. There's some kills that are pretty gnarly, but some off screen stuff is kind of like meh. I have an off screen story because I haven't completely finished this film, so I'll bring it up at the end here, but. Yeah, it's all right. It's a Shudder original that kind of works for the most part.
And it's got a great title.
Yeah, Bloody Axe Wound.
I think I like Uncle Peckerhead better.
He's two for two then.
I can't wait. Like, if I was like somebody on the other end, you know, you hand me your, what is your list of credits? I directed Bloody Axe Wound and Uncle Peckerhead.
Yes. Right? No one's going to forget the Lawrence name. I'll never be compared to Joey Lawrence's brother again.
Got to put my middle name in there. Just distinguish myself, just like Paul W.S. does.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I think that's contractual.
Yeah. It is contractual. I am currently watching Hell of a Summer, Finn Wolfhard's directorial debut. He wrote and directed it with his buddy.
Wait, what? Seriously?
Billy Billy Brick.
I've got that too. I just haven't watched it yet.
It's not very good.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I heard. There's a reason why I haven't watched it.
it's a bit dull. Fred Hetchinger is fucking Fred Hetchinger though. So I would say watch it for him because that kid is so much fun all the time. Like I just enjoy his energy a lot. But why are all the kills off screen? Most of them. Why?
Budgetary.
Why am I reasons. Watch a fucking movie with no on-screen kills?
Yeah, like, that's disappointing.
What the fuck are we even doing right now?
All right. Scratch that movie. Damn. All right.
I mean, there is a couple on-screen kills, but like.
I have no time,
nothing,
man.
Nothing of substance. Nothing that I haven't seen before.
You're helping me out. I have no time right now.
Okay. So, yeah, there we go.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
No problem. That's me. That's me. This part of me.
Bill, do not keep us in suspense any longer.
Yes. Friendship. Give it now.
It's good. I really enjoyed it. It's really anxiety inducing at times. The movie's about a guy who just can't hang out with people. He's the guy that can't hang with guys. He has no friends. And Tim Robinson's already kind of a weird dude. But when you put some like other situations to it, it gets really strange and weird. And I dug the hell out of that. And Paul Rudd is Paul Rudd. Like, he's awesome. He's a good character foil. One thing I didn't like about it, I can't see Kate Mara being with him. He's so weird and she's so not weird. They're just completely contrasting. But yeah, this one isn't out yet. I saw this really early. It's out in like 2 weeks, I think, in Canada. So I think you guys are going to like it with a little bit of an asterisk beside it, like Thunderbolts.
Is it really called New Avengers?
Yeah, Friendship is now the New Avengers. It's a strange film. And yeah, it has some really cool metal like needle drops in it. I think Steve's gonna dig.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's It's a strange film, and I really like strange. You know, show me something.
Show
me something I've never seen before, and this is a fucking weird film at times. Oh, and I think yes. you guys are really going to dig it.
Who did it? I think you should leave guy?
Andrew DeYoung.
Andrew DeYoung.
I've never heard of him. But, yeah. It's funny too because they had a paid sneak of this film, and they had to play it in two theaters because the first one sold out.
Wow, that's really good.
What did people think they were gonna see, or did they know what they were buying?
They knew what they were seeing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that I.
So yeah,
I think you should leave has a huge fucking following.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very young crowd. I was probably the oldest person in there. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think you guys are really going to dig it. If not feeling really uncomfortable at times.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I love feeling uncomfortable.
Did anybody see Another Simple Favor?
Yes. No, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's so bad.
Is it really bad?
Yes.
It's so bad. It is so convoluted and all over the place. It has no idea what it's doing, other than the fact that Anna Kendrick is infinitely watchable.
Yes.
She holds the thing together with all of her might, but she cannot do it. It's not just alone. Not good.
No, it's not.
And Blake Lively's terrible.
I'm not. She's not good. The conceit is also just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just so bad. There was no reason for a sequel. The best part of this movie is when she crashes the book reading, which is probably the greatest 5 minutes, and then it's downhill from there.
And isn't that the beginning?
Yeah, yes. It's like the first 10 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
You fool.
Yeah. I mean, there are moments that are actually like genuinely funny, but it's all because of Anna Kendrick. Like she is really giving it. It's just not enough. It's a total mess.
Did they even have a script for this? Like, it just felt like they were throwing the shit on the wall and see what
stuck.
I'm
with you. It just kind of felt like they didn't know what they were doing. They were just like, the first one did really well. Let's do a sequel. Well, what can we do? It just, no.
At least Henry Golding looked like he was having fun, just taking the piss out of everybody.
He's really hot. Can I just say that?
And Elizabeth Perkins is in it, and she's rad.
Yeah, I like Elizabeth Perkins. Yeah. Always have.
So yeah, skip the hell out of that one. It's not terrible.
Yeah, right. Save your time.
Done. Wiped from my memory.
I know everybody's talking about that hat that Blake Lively wears. The hat sucked.
Yeah, your hat sucks.
I don't know.
Yeah, not good. I saw a documentary on the making of all the John Wick films called Wick is Pain.
I want to see this. Don't give me too much. Is it good? Okay.
I liked it. It's everybody is look like they're really nice people. And like, they were all
Keanu.
No, but they were all like low stunt people who worked their ass off to like get to a certain position. And then they finally broke through on a film that almost didn't get made until Eva Longoria cut them a check.
Yeah.
Gotta love Eva, man. She's fucking saving days.
Yeah. So like, and it's them like old footage of them doing like stunt work and Keanu talking how much he loves John Wick, and it's fun and it's good. I really enjoyed it. I hope you get to see it. If you don't, I can give you a link for it.
Sweet.
What else did I see? I saw The Luckiest Man in America.
Oh, Paul Walter Hauser.
Yeah,
I saw this too.
About you know. You couldn't do this anymore because everything is very analog.
Yeah.
The Paul Walker Hauser character figures out that Press Your Luck has a board and it only has 5 different formations of the pattern of the way it spins. And if you're able to memorize it, you can just keep on winning.
Yep.
They wouldn't be able to do this now because it's just, he destroyed this. Like nobody, once somebody figured this out, it will never happen again because It's decent enough. He's the main character is a bit of an asshole and it kind of takes away from the film, but Walton Goggins is really fun. David Strathairn shows up to class the place up a little bit.
Hell yeah.
It's
one of my favorite parts of The Expanse. I'm in the final season of it.
Yes.
I think I liked the story more than I liked the movie.
Yes.
Idea of it. I like the idea of somebody sticking it to the man. I enjoy that. It's not a bad film. It's just not a great film either.
Executive produced by Pablo Larraine, of all people.
That's weird.
Dan, another biopic.
Yeah, right. Well, Dan actually really, he remembers this story when it happened, because it was a big to-do. I think the best part of the movie was when, you know, the one schmo guy is like, we can turn this around. CBS, because everybody's freaking out, right? Because this guy's now won more money than anybody else. And now they've called the CBS big wigs because it's like, Jesus, somebody figured it out. And the lawyers are like, you can't kick this guy off the show. Like, he has to lose or win. But they all know he's figured it out.
Yeah.
And it turns into this big to-do. But like for me, that whole twist where it's like, but you can turn this. Imagine how CBS just took a regular guy and gave him all this money and made him the star. And then, of course, everybody starts to freak out when he starts to fuck up. It's hilarious. It does. Yeah. I actually thought it has some interesting twists.
He won like $112,000
in 1984.
Yeah, like that is a lot of moolah. That's a lot of money. Yeah. I like the story. Wish it was a little bit of a movie, but it'll be on Netflix in 6 months. And if you're bored, you might like it.
Yep.
I thought it was all right. And my last and certainly least.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. I watched this today and I texted Marina and I think I said, fuck me, this movie.
You did it to yourself.
I know. A Minecraft movie is goddamn awful. I have no idea what this movie is. Who is this for? The jokes
not
are for,
you, the, Bill, no, not you.
The jokes are for adults. Kids will not get it. It's a big giant 80s, 90s reference. And the Minecraft stuff, adults won't get because it's Minecraft and it's just kind of stupid. And there's no age group that this movie is made for. I know you liked it, Steve, but I thought this had no actual purpose other than Jables is awesome because he's always awesome, but like I hated this. I can't understand how this movie made like over $1 billion.
And I gotta make another one. Jared Hess is in the Minecraft business now.
Yeah, like I other than I wanted to have some of that tater tot pie, but like other than that, like this movie was not good.
I wanted square chicken.
And even that I found kind of annoying. And I do like Jables, but, you know, do some more Tenacious D instead, my friend. Make up with Kyle.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's been a while since. It's different this time. JB quit the band.
Yeah, I know. Like, you guys wrote a song called Friendship. Let's go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did not like that one. And I know you liked Momoa in it. I just thought he was annoying. but yeah, this movie is not for me and I probably shouldn't have watched it. And everybody I know told me not to watch it. So I probably should have listened to them.
Alex DeLarged yourself with this movie.
I know. I knew better and I should have watched anything else. I should have watched.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I have a bunch of movies to watch too. So I should have watched The Wedding Banquet again. That movie was great.
Oh, come on. We do this to ourselves all the time.
I also thought it'd be good for the show. So that was stupid of me. I apologize. Yes.
Don't hurt yourself for the show.
No, but Bill hurts himself for a movie, for the love of movies.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this is like the cinematic equivalent of cutting. So like, don't do this.
So yeah, I guess we're now two to one in the bad category for Minecraft.
Does this mean I have to be the deciding factor?
Yeah, you gotta come bail me out.
Can I say don't watch it, Marina? Do not watch it.
Okay, no, you don't have any reason to.
Well, we'll see where Dan falls. If Dan wants to see it, then guess what Marina's watching.
Hey, all right.
I feel like that's not going to happen.
Probably not. I watched only a few things because it's been kind of crazy. And a few of them you guys have already talked about, but I have a few others. Bad Behavior, which is a couple of years old, with Jennifer Connelly and Alice Englert, directed by Alice Englert, who I just found out is Jane Campion's daughter. So who knew? Yeah, I know.
I also just found out that the lead in the new Wes Anderson film is Kate Winslet's daughter. So
what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Whoa. It's happening, guys.
Yeah.
So have you guys seen this?
No.
So Jennifer Connelly plays, she's a former child actor who is going through like a midlife crisis. Alice Englert plays her daughter who is trying to be a stunt actress, and she's in like New Zealand on a set while her mother checks herself into this sort of wishy-washy feel-good resort that's led by this guy played by Ben Whishaw. It's like this wellness retreat where you're supposed to be in touch with your feelings and stuff, and it's Ooh. Like there's yeah
it, do I sense cult?
No, not really. Oh,
just wasted opportunity.
Yeah, no, just weird. But like they do some bizarre things. And Jennifer Connelly is so good. And Ben Whishaw is fantastic. The movie is just kind of okay. But the performances are really, really good. I still don't really know what the point of it is. But it was an interesting watch.
Really it's, great weird, it's weird that I didn't watch this because I've had a crush on Jennifer Connelly for 30 years.
It's and weird that I didn't watch this too, and I've never even fucking heard of it.
Yeah. You're welcome, guys.
Holy shit!
It's interesting. Man. It's interesting. Getaway with Nick Frost.
Yes, it looks great.
It's interesting. I don't know. I thought it was fun. It's like a kind of a rip on. I always think it's a rip on Sightseers. I don't know why. It kind of isn't, but it kind of is. So this family goes on vacation to this island where everybody's telling them not to go on the island because things happen on the island. Basically, there's a serial killer loose on the island, but only for a certain period of time. It's pretty funny. Like it has some really funny moments. It has some really great kills. It's just kind of ridiculous and fun. I'm not sure I would highly recommend it, but it has its moments.
And it's got Aisling B.
Yeah.
And I love
it. It's a pretty decent cast. It's just, I don't know. Some of it just kind of feels meh, but then there are moments that are really funny. And it's like, it's the worst family vacation ever, but I kind of love how the family is also not as clueless as you would expect them to be. So it's kind of fun.
And since you brought it up, hey Arrow, Screen Factory, or even Criterion, can we please get a 4K of Sightseers?
That'd be lovely, please.
Not available on Blu-ray in the United States. That is bullshit.
Yeah, that
fully
is
agree.
That is
I'll sign that petition.
We're finally getting a Severance on Blu-ray and 4K.
Yeah.
Right?
So how about a bunch of those Ben Wheatley films on 4K? That'd be
I
nice.
Would be okay with. Can we get a box set?
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
Did they ever release In the Earth on anything?
I don't think so. That was streaming, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I think I might have like a screener from years ago, but now that you say that, I don't even know if I have that. But no, I don't think it was ever.
The worst part of that film is that dude walking in the forest with bare feet. And I'm like, you're going to fuck your feet up, dude. You're gonna, oh, shit, you stepped on something. Oh, crap.
is this the last thing? And then the last thing I saw is Lorelei, which is also not a new movie, with Jenna Malone and Pablo Schreiber. Only reason I watched it, this cast. And it's actually pretty decent. So Pablo Schreiber plays this biker who goes inside for the gang. And he's in there for like 15 years and then comes out and reunites with Jenna Malone, who's like a high school girlfriend, who might or might not have one of his kids. It's uncertain until it's not. It's pretty decent. Like I hesitate to say nice because it's not a nice movie, but it's a really interesting movie about like family dynamics and the people you expect to be responsible are not the ones that end up being responsible. It's pretty decent. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
Did Jodie Comer speak in a Boston accent?
No.
Shit.
She's not even in it.
Wasted opportunity.
And that's all I've seen.
Wow.
I know.
Dang.
Well, you guys talked about The Luckiest Man. I saw other stuff, but you guys talked about it. So I chimed in.
Yes. That's fair. We weren't mocking you.
Yeah, sure. considering I looked at the list and I was like, Jesus, have I seen anything since the last show? Thankfully I had.
To be fair, we're all been pretty busy, I think. So
insanity.
I still watched like 12 movies, but that's not an excuse. I was busy.
Which is why watch it.
Sorry. Yeah. No, that's okay. I was just going to say, which is why Melissa isn't joining us tonight, is because she's busy.
I also finished my Michael Haneke retrospective.
You were doing a Michael Haneke retrospective? How are you still sane?
No wonder you watched Minecraft.
Wait, what? Why? Is there a hidden reference there I don't know about?
He just wanted to cut his wrists after watching Haneke. So the movie he was going to do that with was Minecraft.
So...
like Seth, self-immolation for those people who like movies.
So I said I'd never watch Amore again.
Oh, you didn't?
I did.
Oh, dude.
That movie still really hurts.
No kidding. I actually refuse to watch it again. There's no way in hell I'm ever watching that movie again.
Ruin your night?
Yeah, it's so well made, though. Like I think I appreciated the craft a lot more this time and the incredible acting. But holy shit, man. Haneke is just was on another level for just trying to kill you. And
he doesn't like humans.
There's I'm been nobody like him, or there'll be nobody like him ever again. He is just so singular in his like even The White Ribbon, a film that is about like a town falling apart, is just incredibly sterile and harmful. Like he's just such an incredible filmmaker. And say what you will about like the ambiguity of Caché, that film is on another level.
Caché is incredible. Caché is probably one of my favorite. Caché might be my favorite of
Haneke's
films.
I don't think he's ever going to make another film, which kind of sucks. But hopefully Criterion puts like all the rest of his films. I got a bunch of his Criterions, and then. My local library had the rest because I couldn't find a couple of the other ones, and they were just Haneke is awesome.
Victoria Public Library,
yeah, they got Criterions, they got everything. Nice. But
what an interesting film to go out on then.
Happy End,
yeah, which I saw at FIFF,
yeah, me too. And everybody hated it except for me,
everyone hated it except for me. Oh no, we did. We liked it. Yeah. I liked it a lot. It's got Isabel Huppert in it. How can I fucking I can't like really hate it. And Matthew Kasowitz.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just
Franz Rogowski.
He just pushes buttons and it's so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is missed. And for all of the a couple episodes ago, Steve said there was a bunch of movies this year that were like happy and nice. If he put another movie out this year, I'd be like, give me that fucking kill me attitude of his. I would go and see it the first second I could. I think he's easily one of my top five filmmakers of all time.
And it's funny, he came to make an American movie just to be like, hey guys, want to see something fucked up? And then he fucked off.
Yeah.
He never made another English language film.
And it's pretty much shot for shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
the balls of that man.
The European version feels a little nastier though.
I still really love the dark comedy. I think comes a lot more through on the US version, especially with the end. Be like, is that the time? Ciao, Bella.
And the opening credit scene of Funny Games is an all timer. Mm-hmm. Just an absolute all timer.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know what director I've been watching director's complete discography, like that's after cool. And I don't know who I'm going to pick next, but
taking journeys.
Yeah.
It was a journey.
If anybody has any requests, maybe I'll
jump in. I request Cronenberg.
Rennie Harlan. You're going to have to watch Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
I don't think I own Cutthroat Island on Blu-ray.
It's on Tubi, so you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, even better.
Hey, a question. Have you guys watched Andor yet?
Yeah, the first two episodes.
I'm waiting for the full deal.
Okay. Which is today?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Did anybody watch the first two episodes of Long Way Home?
Not yet.
Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman? Not yet, but I've seen the wife and I are huge addicts to that whole series. So
it's good.
I mean, okay, any woman that sees Ewan McGregor pull out an acoustic guitar while in the middle of Siberia is going to be fucking into that show. But yeah, I'm interested in this one, especially because Charlie doesn't have a lot of these trips in him anymore. So,
yeah, he's still not walking terribly well. Let's put it that.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah.
And Ewan McGregor looks like he might be the nicest person in Hollywood, so that also helps.
I adore him. Man crush.
Man crush.
Game two this episode: him and Manganiello.
I think it's actually, now that I think about it, I think it might be Manganiello.
Manganiello?
If it's Italian.
Manganiello.
I'd be curious for the Italians to chime in, but I think the G in Manganiello is G, like Gio.
Mange.
I'm going to call him Joey Mang.
Joey Mang?
Because we're friends.
Yeah, oh, we're buddies.
We're buds.
We fist bump over games of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep.
Can I share some insight, which kind of had me sideways? So we did the Q&A with Tim Miller and Robert Valley the other day, and I had a little bit of time to sit with Tim Miller before the Q&A, and he was telling, I asked him about the screening that the night before that, oh my gosh, Guillermo del Toro moderated. And so he was telling us that he went to see Del Toro at one of his houses in LA, where he has many, because he refuses to move. So he just buys new houses and then just shifts between all of them. Because his houses are basically like, it's the shrine to Shelley and it's the shrine to Frankenstein. Like it's like every room is themed. So when he runs out of rooms, he just buys another house. Buys another house.
That's amazing.
He was saying that he's been invited over for a Saturday afternoon of figure painting.
Wow.
Because apparently this is what Del Toro does with his friends. He invites his famous friends over for Saturday afternoons and they paint figurines. I'm like, wait, are you guys painting like Warhammers? And he's like, no, it's like everything but.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully,
this is a thing.
I'd love to paint with Guillermo.
Hopefully, he appreciates the upgrade in speaker that he got the next night, because you're the bomb, dude.
Thanks. Well, apparently, I got cheers. They did an introduction before, like, we were backstage. It was so full, I had to give up my seat because I had already seen it. And they were trying to squeeze in as many people as possible. And there were still like 30 people outside waiting to get in. And I'm like, okay, I've seen it. I'll give my seat to somebody that hasn't seen the show. They're like, oh, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, it's totally fine. So I missed the introduction. Dan's like, apparently they cheered for you. I'm like, what? I'm nobody. What do you mean they cheered for me? But it's a nice thought. Thank you very much, everybody.
Podcast famous.
Yeah.
Podcast famous. Yeah. Apparently.
The leader, our leader.
Sure. Team effort. But no, I just wanted to share that story. Cause I thought, I'm like, I want to paint with Del Toro.
Yeah, me too.
But apparently he's not much of a moderator. He's more of a chatter. Which is
still fucking cool.
No kidding.
It's Guillermo.
If I would do it, he'd be like, why does your Pinocchio have claws? And I'm like, because I like Freddy Krueger, bitch.
All right. So let's wrap this thing up. Bill, what are we already know what we're going to watch next episode, but please entertain us with what is coming.
Oh, there's a couple here that could be like, yeah, there's like two on the on one day that could be it. May 16th, Final Destination Bloodlines.
Yeah,
I cannot wait. Ticket.
Yeah, I. You guys fans?
I am.
Actually,
not like of the first two, I enjoy a lot.
Yes.
And sporadic things from 3, 4, and 5.
I don't know if I've seen 3, 4, and 5. I definitely have seen the first two, but I really like Zach Lipovsky. I think he's great, and I cannot wait to see what he's bringing us.
Yeah. Which one was shot in BC on like the logs and
three?
Shit?
Two and three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That log scene is pretty classic.
Yeah. They've been using it for marketing again. They
oh, yeah, that's right. Because it's like flashbacks around to the others. Yeah.
Abel Tesfayette is back with Hurry Up Tomorrow.
I'm expecting better results than The Idol.
Yeah.
Like, he's got Trey Edward Stultz making this film, and I like Trey Edward Stultz quite a bit. So,
one little caveat on this movie. They are not press screening it. They are not sneaking it. They're not showing it to anybody.
Ooh.
Wow. That's Abel's.
I don't know, but that could be a bad sign.
Yeah. Who's releasing this?
I don't know.
It's A24.
Is it?
Yeah. They.
Yikes.
Sounds like they might be hiding it, but that also could just mean they don't want it spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with that and hope that's the real deal.
I really don't know what the film's about. Does Jenna Ortega kidnap him? Is he the weekend in it? Is he playing himself? Like, who's Barry Keoghan in it? Like,
I'm still not 100% sure how I'm going to dissuade my niece from wanting to see this, because she is like a huge Jenna Ortega fan. And she keeps saying, T, I need to see this movie.
This is like the one she did with Martin Freeman. She can't see that one either.
I kind of like that one.
That one's so fucking weird.
It is. It's not good, but it's also not terrible.
It's not very good at all.
There's a bunch of other direct-to-DVD and VOD shit that week, so I'm just going to skip it. May 23rd, Lilo and Stitch live action. Marina hasn't seen the animated film.
Did you see? Directed this movie, though, right?
No.
It's the guy that did Marcel the Shell with Shoes on. Oh,
then it's going to be great.
I can't wait.
Shake my eyebrows at you. I don't know. Big shoes to fill. The first one.
Is it just because of the record they have with live action, or do you actually have a vibe about this?
My vibe is that there is more love for the original than people really give it credit for. And I think it is big, big shoes to fill. And I love Marcel the Shell. I'm just not sure. And the trailer does not indicate whether it's any good or not.
I want to believe in Dean Fleischer camp.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for him. I'd like to see him succeed on this.
This little indie actor named Thomas Malthopper is back. Mission Impossible.
Mouth. I was like, what the fuck?
Bad last name, Tommy.
Oh boy. I was never going anywhere.
Totally forget what happened in the last movie, so I think I might have to watch it.
Killed Ilsa.
I said to Dan that I think it's time for a Mission Impossible marathon, and he gave me the dirtiest look in history.
Really? Well,
and I'm like, dude, at least it's not 007 where there are like 50 movies to watch.
Just watch
six.
Just watch the Macquarie ones.
I don't know, man. I really like the first one.
But then you have to go to that second one, like to kick the gun out of the sand up to roll.
Scott. Listen, we could skip the ones that are no good. I like the third one. I like the Brad Bird Abrams one. I thought it was good. Isn't that the Brad Bird one?
The third
John
one.
Woo.
No, John Woo's the second movie.
Okay.
The third movie is J.J. Abrams, and the fourth movie is Brad Bird.
Okay,
the third movie has the Philip Seymour, I'm going to hurt her.
See, worth watching just for Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is so fucking happening. Good.
I think that they're streaming on Paramount Plus. Even if I have to watch them by myself, it's happening.
And who did the first one? De Palma, right?
De Palma did the first one. Yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman adjacent. Did you guys see the trailer for The Long Walk?
No.
Which is a Stephen King short story, a Richard Bachman short story, quote unquote, that I never thought was going to get made ever. Oh. It's basically about teenagers that are put onto this competition, a long walk. If they slow down, the soldiers that are following them kill them.
Oh, and it's Cooper Hoffman. Okay.
Yeah, Cooper Hoffman's in it.
Speaking of Stephen King, if you live in Vancouver, today's date is May the 13th. If you live in Vancouver, the Rio Theater is having a sneak preview of Life of Chuck next week, I think.
Oh.
It's very early. So if you are in town, go see Life of Chuck at the Rio.
Yeah.
Tell them Bill sent you.
Yeah.
Does it get me a discount?
No, they'll just punch you in the neck.
Probably. Yeah. I'm sure they love me.
Right in the, not anywhere else, but just right in the neck meat.
So yeah, Mission Impossible. Is that the movie?
Yeah, maybe. Mission Impossible and Lilo and Stitch. That's what I'll have. So.
Mission Stitch.
Mission Stitch.
I got the title, Lilo, man. Impossible. We have the title, so it has to happen.
Mission Stitch.
So Netflix is back with the new Fear Street movie, Prom Queen.
I think it looks fun.
I kind of like the other ones.
The trilogy was great. Yeah. And it has such a gnarly kill that I didn't even think was going to happen in the first movie.
You don't have to say it with a little bit of shame, Bill. They're legitimately good.
Yeah, no, I know people don't like them, so I kind of wanted to hide it. But yeah, I liked them. I thought they were fun.
No peer pressure. Fuck them.
I agree. I don't know about this one. Apple TV has a new Guy Ritchie film called Fountain of Youth with John Krasinski and Natalie Portman.
Amazing cast. Yeah, but Guy Ritchie?
Yeah, but okay. Like Operation Daguerre, like all these like random movies that are still entertaining. Like he keeps pumping them out, and we're just kind of like, that was Guy Ritchie.
And I kind of like Mobland. It's good.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. And you had me at Natalie Portman.
I'm like, by Guy Ritchie. I'm like, what?
Right.
And I think Marina was talking about this earlier, maybe off camera. Jane Austen wrecked my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Trailer looks very cute. And I'll probably love it because I like those kind of movies. I'm a softie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know it, but I am.
No shame.
But yeah, that is pretty much it. Unless Steve has more, but I don't have anything else. Most of it was just like direct to VOD shit. So
yeah.
Mission Impossible on Lilo and Stitch it is.
Yeah. Mission Stitch.
Oh, it's too bad neither of them are opening this weekend because Monday's a holiday. I could actually watch movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody's gonna Photoshop that into like a really cool poster. Mission Stitch.
I hope so. I think it's brilliant.
Now it stays in this virtual room.
Yep.
For a little while. Damn it. Oh man. All right. Anything else before we wrap this thing up and put a bow on it?
Nope. Bow time.
I wish I was at the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah, me too. But I say that every year.
I wish I was watching the new Julia DeCarno film. I wish I was watching the new Ari Aster film. I wish I was watching the new Spike Lee film. You know, just go down the list. Hopefully all these are at VIFF. So we get to catch up on them there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the Ari Aster film isn't just completely spoiled. And I really, really hope Spike Lee kills it because I love High and Low. It's one of my favorite Kurosawa films. And the movie has Denzel Washington in it. So, you know, it's going to be awesome. So, But one day I'll go to Cannes. They don't sell passes. So you have to pretty much be A-list press to get in there. So one day I'll do it.
I'm on my way.
Somebody that know we're A-list. We can make this happen.
On my way.
Here we know people.
Maybe
Steve does not look. Steve does look impressed.
Oh.
All right. So until the next episode, where could folks find you?
I am Bill Harris. I am on Blue Sky at SoundJam 69. And just for the record, I was actually supposed to record another podcast tonight. That's all I'm going to say. First time in a year. We're doing it tomorrow instead. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Yeah, dropping. Be ready.
Wow.
Be ready. That shit's
going to be long. Gird your loins, everybody.
Because you know what? It is May 13th, and we're dropping our top 10 from last year.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, better late than never.
Forward, I always look forward to those 5 months into the year.
Yeah, totally.
I'm the Marine. I'm Marina. You can find me. I don't know who I am.
That was the best lead in.
Thomas Malthopper.
Sorry, guys. Wow. You can find me on Blue Sky and Letterboxd at the Marina. Last but not least,
You can find me on all the social medias wherever they exist at the Steeble Dead. You can also find my website, stevestebbing.ca, and on YouTube, I do a show with my daughter, Chloe, every week called What the Hell Should I Watch? It is released at 9 a.m. Pacific time every Friday. And I'm also on Tremble, the horror podcast, but due to technical difficulties, I missed out on yesterday's recording, but their episodes are on The Keep and, oh my God, what was the other one? Altered States, which I watched both of them. And
Altered States is great.
It is awesome.
It's Ken Russell. It's of course.
The Keep kind of blows.
Yeah, The Keep's not great. It's Michael Mann just like.
No, but like Michael Mann like doesn't want his name on that film. Like,
no.
Yeah. There's a reason it was unavailable for like 20 years because he wouldn't let them touch it.
Yeah.
Really? Sucks. Now I have to see this.
Yeah.
Glenn.
Yeah, Vinegar Syndrome just put out a 4K of it, and you literally could not find that film for 20 years.
Yeah.
I had a bootleg of it, but it's not very good. It's really incoherent at times, and it looks like the director lost the film because
that
totally
because he did.
Happened. Yeah.
Because he did. Yeah.
But yeah, Altered States is rad, and Ken Russell's rad.
Ken Russell is amazing. And that's William Hurt's first on-screen role is that film.
I'm like,
what a first film. Like, holy shit. Oh, and
just for the record, I think I watched that film with my dad on like beta when I was like six.
Oh, wow. And
now you know why I'm a little bit fucked up in my movie case because I watched really Altered States when I was six.
Where you're like, I must watch all Ken Russell's movies.
Yes.
Because that is a fucking, like, there is a movie. There you go. There's a movie journey right there. Ken Russell.
Yeah. I have a Blu-ray of The Devils. So
yeah,
they're on your way.
You're on your way. You're well on your way. And finally, you can also find me on Shane Hewitt and the Night Shift on Toronto's News Talk 1010. It's on the iHeartRadio network. I'm on the show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And then he releases that as a podcast on wherever you can find podcasts. You can look that up.
Fantastic. You can find links to all of the things we talked about today at atcpod.ca. And until the next time.
Hack the planet.